I've noticed doing booth work in the last year to a year and a half, it's rare that people come by with a huge desire to have a conversation about their high blood pressure or weight issues or breathing issues. And, of course, at a booth we would never even do a blood glucose test. We would show the meter and so on. But people are much more apt to come by and look at a fun product, a slate or a labeling product or something. And so this led us to think about other companies we might work with that would bring some real value add to our outreach and to the blind community overall. One company that I know I've always admired and followed carefully and purchased from now and then, but it was so difficult to do that it was more often then than now, was the Royal National Institute of Blind People. They've got great Braille books, magazines, a lot of fascinating products for daily living, and it just seemed like a natural to look into their company and see if we could create a relationship between Bay Area Digital and RNIB. So the relationship works like this. We import products. We have a catalog of products that we think are, you know, really important and great products, good enough to put into a catalog. In addition to that, we also will do our best to procure for a customer any RNIB product that you want, whether or not it's in our catalog of great products. So if there is an RNIB product that you think you might like, contact us and we'll try to work with you and see what we can do to get it for you. RNIB recently has come out with what to me has got to be about the most amazing labeling product I've seen in a long, long time. I followed the barcode products that work with databases and so on, and they're nice. They're big, and barcodes have issues, as you know, and scanning the barcode can be complicated, and it would be difficult to make your own barcodes and so forth. There were a lot of attendant issues with many of the other labeling products, and there was a lot of difficulty with accuracy in those products. So price, accuracy, flexibility have always caused me to shy away from these kinds of products. Recently, RNIB came out with PenFriend, and it is a great answer. It may have a few issues of its own, what product doesn't, but on the other hand, it really fits the bill for labeling things, for finding things. The labels are small enough and flexible enough that you really can put them on a lot of different stuff. I'll get to that in a minute. So PenFriend physically is a little bigger than a pen. It's got to be big enough to hold a couple of AAA batteries that power it. And the battery compartment is on one side, and the operational controls are on the other side. At the thicker end of the pen is the speaker and the microphone. At the thinner end of the pen, or what the British call the nib end, is where the labeling itself occurs. The controls are very simple. It'll take you about 5 minutes to figure them out. They are a series of buttons that go vertically from the thicker top end of the pen down to the bottom. Are volume up, down, and they're shaped so you can readily identify them as volume up, down. The next one is a mode switch, which I'll come back to in a moment. And the bottom one is the record button. PenFriend comes with 127 labels that you can affix to whatever you want to label, a jar, a can, a piece of paper, anything like that. And those come with the unit when you buy it. Our price at Bay Area Digital is $125. And you can buy additional packs of labels, which contain 380 labels each. And those are $29.95. So you're paying about 7 cents a label. Not too bad. To turn PenFriend on, the button nearest the top is the on-off power button. I'm going to hold that button down. You heard a beep, and that beep indicates that PenFriend is now on. This product is so nicely designed that the user manual for it is part of the box. So I'm going to move the pen over to a little round indentation in the box, and I'm just going to play you part of the user manual.
Power. There are four buttons on your pen, friend. Starting from the top, the thickest end of the pen, is the power on-off button. Below that is the volume switch. Press upwards for volume up, and downwards to decrease the volume. The next button down is the mode button, and the last one, closest to the nib of the pen, is the record button.
Okay, so I stopped it, and each of these small circles contains another piece of the user manual. If you're holding the pen with the buttons facing toward you, at the left side is a rubber cover that you can pull back, you can fold it back, and underneath there are controls for a microphone, a USB connector, and an earphone. So you can use your own microphone if you want to, and you can attach this to a computer and download to your computer your database of labels as it becomes more and more extensive. So if something ever happened to your pen friend, you would have your recordings available to reload onto the unit. That's the sound of pen friend turning off. One caveat, please be careful about this. If you are using the pen friend and playing with the box, you can record over and destroy the labels in the box. So please don't do that. It would not be considered a kind thing for you to do. I wish they had the ability to make labels that you could not erase. But in fact, you can record over any label. And for most instances, that's a good thing because, you know, if you label the top of a jar, say you've got a prescription and you're taking 10 milligrams of something, and over a period of time your doctor moves you to 20 milligrams, you can just re-record the label. It's very simple. To record a label is just as easy as playing it. You simply hold the pen above the label, press the record button, then bring the pen down to the label. The pen friend will make a beep. As soon as you hear the beep, say what you want to say, let go of the record button. You have to hold the record button down as you're making a recording, but then when you're done speaking, let go of the recording, and you're all done. It's that simple. I found myself, the first recording I made took me about 4 tries, and I've been good at it ever since. You know, there's a bit of a learning curve, but you're going to be finding the recording process extremely easy.
Is the recording on the label itself or in the pen friend? And let's say you've bought whatever number of labels you have. You keep buying more labels. Is it a brand new ball game with every label that you get?
The label itself is a colorized barcode label. Because of its colorization, it doesn't need to be scanned like a traditional barcode does. But it does, as a barcode does, act primarily as an index. So what you're really doing when you press the record button, you're indexing that label to a recording that is stored in the pen friend itself. Pen friend is capable of storing up to 70 hours of recording time. If there is a maximum number of indexes that it can hold, I'm not aware of what the maximum might be. The indexing is a little bit tricky, and the way it works is this. You have, of course, your 127 labels in the box when you get a pen friend. Then you have the 380 labels in Pack A. Pack A, however, is important because if you buy and use all of Pack A, you may not buy another Pack A and use that Pack A because your A indexes are used. You have to be careful and specify, or we have to be careful and not sell you a second Pack A. You have to get a Pack B of labels. And at this point in time, we have only had Pack A's and Pack B's to sell. Pack C's will be available in January and D packs in February. How many additional packs will be made available? I'm not sure. That has not really been made clear to distributors by RNIB.
Chris, is there any requirement that you use the 127 labels first before you start Pack A? If so, what are those labels called? And I also assume that the recordings take on a label number, so it is sort of possible to share a pen friend among more than one person if you know what you're doing.
Sharing could be problematic. It can be done, but it is difficult. There is no requirement that you use labels in any particular order that I'm aware of, just that you not use, say, 2 Pack A's, 2 Pack B's, or intermix the labels that come inside the pen friend box with 2 different pen friends. They're a brand new, more sophisticated type of barcode.
I noticed that the extra pack that you buy, I believe, It has, I don't know, three sheets of labels or something. And they have one-size labels that are little round dots, maybe this a little smaller than a dime. And then they have a rectangular label and, I believe, an oval label. And by the way, I just want to say that I wasn't quite sold on this thing until I saw it, but the ability to label things that you could never label before with this device is startling. I mean, you could take these little dot-type labels, round labels, and put a piece of electrical tape on one end of a cable and on the other end and stick labels on them and label each end of a cable in your stereo system or your computer so that you don't have to sit there when you're trying to rewire stuff and trace one end of a cable to find and trace it all the way back to find the other end. That alone is a gift of major proportion. You could label your wall warts, almost anything. Do they have any plans to come out with any kind of a label that's non-adhesive that you could use for clothing? Are they going to make available packs of one type of label? Maybe I want to buy more of the round dots as opposed to the rectangular ones, etc.
There has been a lot of consideration given to having packs of one particular type of label. I think they've already determined that the small round circle is much more popular than the other labels, and there'll be a predominance of that tag in your pack Cs. No decision's been made about how to handle the different types of labels so far, that I know of anyway. I will say R&IB has been good about asking distributors what's the feedback from your customers about what labels they want, and my feedback has certainly been that people seem to prefer the small round box. R&IB is working on a clothing label. We don't have any details, but they recognize that people very much want a clothing label. I think that's coming, but I don't have any firm details to give you right now.
There was another device out on the market that was very, I believe, very similar, although I never got to see one myself in person, made by APH called the Sherlock. They do, I believe, have clothing labels for that device, but I wonder if you've seen it and if you can draw any comparisons between the two devices. Other than that, the Sherlock is more expensive, I believe.
Yeah, Sherlock is... The last I checked, it was about twice the price. I never used one extensively, so I wouldn't want to make too many comments. I did have a lot of issues with its ability to accurately record and then read back labels, but I don't know anything about their clothing label at all.
Let's say if a couple of people have pen friends, and you've made a label, even maybe for a piece of paper, like you wanted to leave an instruction for someone else or something, or a quick label. Could another person read it with theirs?
No, they couldn't. They could read it with the same pen friend, of course, but their pen friend, if it did happen to read that label, it would only be because they had created a recording that was attached to a similar label of their own. So whatever the label said would be entirely spurious, you know, as far as the pen friend that recorded it versus the pen friend that read it.
If we have two pen friends in a household and we're uploading the contents of recordings to a computer and it's done to same folder and it's downloaded to the other pen friend, would that be an example of sharing that would work?
Yes, that would be a way of making the label indexes and audio be the same on both pen friends. The difficulty you might run into and that you want to be aware of is that if you have two pen friends, then you have two sets of the labels that come inside the pen friend. And if you wanted to use that approach, you would have to sacrifice one of those sets of labels because you wouldn't be able to use both.
I guess my problem with your device is you kind of have to carry it around all the time. If I have stuff in my kitchen, stuff in my garage, stuff in my basement, I always have to have this thing with me in order to read back the labels. I received over the years a few of those musical birthday cards. You open the card and it plays music. I understand the newer versions of those cards even allow you to record your own voice onto the card. Those modules are really small. I'm wondering why it is that we can't build little buttons that have the battery and the speaker and the playback part of it actually in the button so there is no pen. I envision only a docking station with the microphone and the recording part that doesn't have to be in every single button. But are we now at a point of technology where such a design might be possible?
You know, I haven't studied the technology in terms of pricing. I understand your question. We actually sell some of those kinds of cards where you can record your own message on the card. They're pretty expensive. Retail, I think the RNIB cards are about $10 a piece, and I've seen them in Walgreens and other places for like $6 or $7 a piece. That would tend to indicate to me that the technology is expensive enough that it might be cost prohibitive. We also sell labels, round labels with magnets you can put on jars, or flat things with a clip you can put on something else. But here again, the size of the label and the price of the label is different. I mean, our can labels, I think, are $5 a piece, and the flat ones are $7 or $8 a piece. I don't have the price right in front of me. And you're limited to a 20-second recording on that. What you have here is certainly limiting in the sense that, yes, you have to take a pen friend around with you, although, believe me, I've had plenty of customers who have bought more than one pen friend and have it in the area where they want to use it, and they get labels and so forth. And I got a guy, he's got one in his shop, one in his kitchen, and one in the living room. At 7 cents a label, that may be more cost effective than the other solutions that are out there.
What do you think the reason is 15%. That now this has become so affordable?
You know, I think that probably the cost has come down partly because of the advances in barcode technology. Partly, RNIB had as part of its mission for this product to bring out a more affordable product, a low-priced product. I don't know if it's widely known or not, but PenFriend is manufactured in China, so the manufacturing costs are going to be lower for that reason alone. And RNIB went ahead and had the quantities made that made China as an alternative attractive.
We've had a question. What is the price, Chris?
The PenFriend with the 127 labels is $125, and additional packs of labels are $29.95.
Does the label have to remain pretty flat on a device? I mean, I know you could put it on a can, and of course cans are not quite flat. I'm wondering if you took a label, you know, like I said before, and put it on a piece of wire to label a cable, would wrapping the label around the wire, that would be a little bit too much of a bend for that thing to read the barcode accurately. Is that correct?
My assumption is that it would, but I have to admit I haven't tried it. I have a feeling if you wrapped it around a cable, that might tax it.
Chris, I have another slightly loaded question, and that is, do you ever give volume discounts? And if so, what volume do you require for a discount?
I have not considered volume discounts. I don't get volume discounts from RNIB, and I know this because I can't keep the darn things in stock. I wouldn't necessarily turn down an offer for a volume discount.
I'm wondering if, for the future, is there any way to create something similar for the supermarkets? Talking about labels, you can go check the prices as you shop, or each supermarket has a different kind of a label. There's no way we can keep track of all of those.
There's considerable work being done to find some ways to use a product like this for prescription medication. That would extend easily to supermarkets, but of course the difficulty in supermarkets is the labeling of stuff. It brings you back to the whole issue of barcode databases and the labeling techniques used in stores. This is just a private opinion and based on very little research. I have a feeling that until the barcode versus RFID tag war has progressed a little further, until that happens, we're probably not going to see a very viable solution for grocery stores and other retail kinds of outlets.
When you said that we could download the audio portion of the labels themselves, what format is the audio portion in, and can we translate that to something that we could edit on a computer?
The PenFriend uses MP3, and so yes, you could. You can also upload MP3 files to PenFriend and play them using the MP3 player mode in PenFriend. I don't fancy it much as a reading device. It doesn't have any reading controls and so forth, but the availability of that is there for you. Editing the files should be no problem, though, because they're just MP3 files. I think you would only need to be mindful of not modifying the bitrate and so forth.
Chris, could you talk a little bit about the mode menu?
The mode that is the default mode is the mode in which you press the record button, make recordings, and then as you pass the pen by a label, it will just begin speaking the recording of that label. You needn't touch any buttons, you needn't query the label, just coming to the label will make it begin to speak. And when you go to the next label, it's smart enough just to say, okay, I've got a new label, I'm going to start talking that label instead. So it's a nice little piece of engineering there. The second mode is a mode in which you can read information that will be shared from time to time by RNIB. I have no idea what that means or how it's going to work, and there's been no explanation forthcoming from RNIB about that. The third mode relates to the reading of MP3 files. I actually haven't used it, so I can't tell you quite how it works.
How close does the pen have to get to the label, or how easily does it find the label if you're having trouble locating the label on an item?
For both playing and recording, it needs to be quite close to the label. I find that it seems to have a preference for being in the center of the label, and when you're making a record, it beeps, so you know that you've got the right place. And if you're just listening, if you bring it to the label and it doesn't play it, just move it away and then bring it back down. I find it's pretty important to hold the pen fairly straight up and down so that you're coming at the label vertically, and it's better if you aim for the center of the label. But it can read it probably within a quarter of an inch away from the label.
These labels are just printed barcode labels on paper, or are they RFID labels with electronics embedded in them?
They are colorized barcodes. They're not RFID tags.
Can you name some of the less obvious uses for these labels, and also some ways the labels can't be used that customers have asked about?
Well, I learned a good use from Don about labeling cables. I like that. Some people are using these to label their CD collections. I find it useful myself in labeling bottles, nutritional supplements, vitamins, medications, aspirin, stuff like that. They're great for labeling food items, spices. We have some people who are using them to label yarn. There's a whole sewing quilting group. About 10 of their members have purchased Pen Friends to label their various items of materials for quilting. The only thing that you can't label that I know of right now is clothing, because it goes through the wash. The labels can get wet and it won't hurt them, but the difficulty about clothing is the adhesive and the clothing and melting in the dryer and not sticking well enough in the wash and so forth. I don't know of anything else that you wouldn't be able to use this with as long as it left the label relatively intact.
Will they adhere to like frozen freezer items?
When you get Pen Friend, you'll get a hints booklet as well. Or you can get it online, I guess. Maybe you have to go online and get it, I think. They recommend that for frozen foods, you put it on something else that you band to the food, because sometimes the boxes get icy and the texture of the box doesn't lend itself to adhesive too much.
Are there any plans for reusable labels, like magnetic labels or ones with suction cups or something like that?
I know I have customers who are making those kinds of labels for themselves. I don't know of any plans, and I've heard nothing about such plans from RNIB itself.
Actually, I can think of one other use that I know somebody's doing with this. You know all those remotes that you have in your house and you can't remember which button is which? Well, I know somebody who's taken all of their remotes and put recorded labels from their Pen Friend on it so they can remember what in God's name button to push.
That's a great idea.
Are you limited in length?
Theoretically, there is no limitation in the length of the recording. Your only limitation is the 70 hours of recording time that a Pen Friend can hold. The practical limitation might be how long do you really want a recording to be that you listen to. I mean, imagine 5 or a 10-minute recording could become difficult because you have no ability to review or fast-forward and so forth.
How about appliances? Would those labels go on appliances?
I believe they would in many cases. Dials might be a little problematic if they had, it would depend on their shape and so forth, but yeah, I can't see why that wouldn't be a possibility.
Your 70-hour length there, is there a way to interrogate the Pen Friend to find out how close to that limit you are in terms of running out of room?
None that I know of, no. if it has some kind of warning built in that I'm not aware of, you know, I don't want to say that it doesn't. I haven't gotten anywhere near close to 70 hours, but you know, there's no way to just ask it right now how many minutes or hours of recording time you have.
I just inherited a lot of pictures from my mom and my aunt, and I don't know what they are, and a lot of them are family members and stuff I'd like to know, and that would be a great way to get that done. When I find people who can actually tell me what they are, then I'll know.
That's a great idea.
Is there a way to get the time back? If you no longer need a particular label, is there a way to get the time back into the pen?
Like delete the recording?
Yeah, delete that recording, that label.
You know, I haven't done this, and I need to do it because you're not the first person who's asked. My understanding is that the way you do that is to download the PenFriend data onto your PC and delete the messages you don't want, and then upload it back into the database in the PenFriend.
Wouldn't you then, though, have to know which labels those messages connected to or not? I guess you wouldn't, because then you could just record over them. But you'd have to know which ones you wanted to record over, correct?
You'd have to know which label a message went with. Well, before Thanksgiving, Marvelletta had someone read the directions on the turkey stuffing box on a PenFriend label, put it on the box so I could refer to it the next day. When we threw out the box, we lost the label, of course. And I mean, maybe we could have tried to salvage it, but we didn't. And someday I would go and erase that recording. And I guess the reality is I've lost that label for ever being able to use it again, because I could never easily duplicate it. There's no way to duplicate a label once it's gone. So then I think you're running up against an inherent limitation of the product.
To download and upload the MP3 files, does it require a special program, or will the PenFriend show up as a USB mass storage device?
It shows up as a USB storage device, yes.
If you make a mistake in a label, can you erase it there, or you cannot? You have to go back in the computer, download it, and
no, you just re-record it. If you have a label on which you've already recorded, do you get any kind of a warning beep that says you already have recorded something on this label? Are you sure you want to re-record?
No, you don't. That's why I was warning you about the labels in the box. Once you make a new recording on the label, you're stuck with it.
This is just common sense, folks. If you've recorded something, somebody's recorded something for you that's important, say like that you want, like say like directions on a box or something, and you want to keep it, take that panel of the box, rip it off, and hold on to it. And then when you buy the next box of stuffing or whatever, you can then use it. I mean, that's just common sense. It'd be the same thing if you, you know, if you use one of those magnetic labels that you can put on cans. You just stick it on the next can. Well, you can't quite do this, but you just take the label. Or the other thing you could do, my God, you could use another label, have the recording all queued up on your computer, and then record it onto the new label.
Well, for instance,
you can do that too.
For instance, for medicine bottles, what I would do is I would take the, or prescription bottles, I just reuse the cover. Take the old cover and you know,
exactly.
I have covers that I refuse to throw away, you know, because they have Braille labels on them, and I don't want to do the Braille label over again. Yeah. But this would be even more so.
I mean, there's also tape that's less sticky than others, so if you can put the label, say, on masking tape, and then, I mean, that's the tape I let my kids use because I can remove it from things.
I can imagine putting, like, labels on clothespins and just put clothespins on things.
Yeah. Or index cards.
Or pieces of electrical tape if you wanted to label certain kinds of things.
There's also something called, I think it's like Hugo's Magic Tape or something. It's like clear plastic. It doesn't have an adhesive. It's like static. It sticks to things.
Oh.
So you don't need any adhesive at all.
The other thing is the 70-hour business. The MP3s are at a low bit rate. Let me tell you, you are going to create a million labels before you ever run out of 70 hours. I mean, you're really going to be very hard-pressed to even have to worry about something like that, I think. And as far as labeling cans, you can buy a roll of magnetic tape, which is somewhat expensive, but you can just cut that into little pieces and put labels on it, those little round dot labels, and then you'd be able to reuse them 1,000 times over for the can of the same item.
Do we know what the bit rate is in case, say, we want to use something totally recorded to make our own pre-recorded MP3s and then swap them out with the one we recorded?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. My understanding is you can download any MP3 file, but I don't know the ins and outs of the bitrate requirement of attaching something to a barcode index.
Chris, if you listen to the labels on the box, you'll notice that most of them were recorded on the PenFriend, or some of them were, but not all of them. And the ones that aren't have a much higher bit rate, and it still plays them fine. I think your only real concern is getting the file names right. They don't have date and timestamps, so you can't sort them. So you got to be very careful. I don't think it's worth playing those kinds of games. It's probably more aggravation than it's worth.
So, Don, you already own one of these?
No, but I bought one for Maureen for Christmas. But I haven't hooked it up to the computer yet to look at the data, but I've been playing with hers a little bit.
So, Chris, just to review, it's $125. Does that include or exclude shipping?
That does not include shipping. Shipping to Boston is probably something like $10, I would think. Contact information, Bay Area Digital. I'm Chris at bayareadigital.us, all one word. The phone number is 888-881-1998, 888-881-1998. The address is 870 Market Street, Suite 653, San Francisco, California, 94102. 870 Market, Suite 653, San Francisco, 94102. And our website is bayareadigital.us.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure.